Okay, members, why don't we sit down and we'll get started here. Sure seems louder. This microphone seems louder. Or is it me or what? Well, first of all, Happy New Year. It's good to see everyone's smiling face. Even you, Randy Miller. No, I'm kidding you, Randy. I'm kidding you. I got to give you a hard time. Meeting's called to order. Nancy, please call the roll.
Okay, Commissioner Barney Barnett.
Here.
Commissioner Martha Barnett. Commissioner Bostick. Commissioner D'Alembert. Here. Commissioner Herodopoulos. Commissioner Hogan. Commissioner Johnson. Here. Commissioner Kyle. Commissioner LaCasa. Here. Commissioner Levesque. Commissioner Levine.
Here.
Commissioner Margolis. Commissioner Martinez. Commissioner Mathis. Commissioner McKay. Commissioner McKee. Commissioner Les Miller. Commissioner Randy Miller. Commissioner Moore. Commissioner Peterman. Commissioner Riley. Commissioner Roussan. Commissioner Sampson. Commissioner Story.
Here.
Commissioner Turbeville.
Here.
Commissioner Wilkinson. Commissioner Yablonski.
Here.
Vice Chair Scott.
Here.
Chair Bentz.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Commissioner Roussan is here as well for the records. Okay, members, first of all, just a reminder that when you speak, be sure to turn your microphone on. I think we've got that process down. Folks that are watching on the television cannot hear us if we don't have our mics on. Is there anyone attending by telephone? Okay. Also, I want to thank you for attending meetings yesterday, today. I know the as we said earlier, the pace is going to pick up a little bit. And as a sort of a piece of advice to members, Susan Skelton and I were talking about this the last couple of days. We have a lot of proposals out there to amend the Constitution. And just a reminder that it's much less of a steep mountain to make statutory recommendations than it is to amend the Constitution. So if you, not in addition to getting 17 votes on the commission, I was talking to someone earlier this week, just the 60% threshold that it takes to pass a constitutional amendment, I think it's going to be very difficult to pass any contentious constitutional amendment today, just because 60% is a very steep threshold. So if you think that the issue that's important to you might be easier accomplished by statutory remedies, then just a word of advice, you might want to take a look at that. I'm not trying to kill any proposals out there. I'm just saying you might want to keep that in the back of your mind. Any comments from members on that? Okay, let's have some reports of committees. Chairman Story, if you would give us a report of the F&T committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did meet yesterday. At the committee meeting yesterday, the Finance and Tax Committee passed unanimously out of our committee with a technical amendment, the committee substitute for the constitutional proposal by Commissioner Margolis, and it was also a committee substitute, the Governmental Procedures and Structure Committee, relating to the assessed value of property with hurricane hardening or energy efficiency. That was approved unanimously, as well as the implementing language for SR 0005. The technical amendment that we did approve to that relates to basically voiding a part of the Constitution related to solar energy, which sunset back in 1990. So to remove that so that this could take place. Additionally, following that, we took up the constitutional proposal by Commissioner Yablonski, CP 0015, CP 0016, related to conservation issues. One basically exempts from property tax conservation lands under very strict definitions, but basically it allows the legislature to determine what that is. The second one would direct the legislature to look at the classification of property as conservation lands and how that is assessed. We did see the need for both of those. Those both passed unanimously, but also the Finance and Tax Committee voted unanimously to co-sponsor both of those proposals. So that was done yesterday also. We then actually had a workshop with no votes on the constitutional proposal 0007 related to sales tax exemption review. We had pretty robust discussion. We took public comment, and again, we will carry that over to the next meeting. We did make a decision also that for the sales tax exemption review topic, sales tax exclusion review topic, which basically is services tax issue and property tax proposals, that we would not vote on any individual proposals until we have discussed all three, and we would do that at one meeting on February the 11th. At our January 17th agenda next week, we will take up the streamlined sales tax issue, both a constitutional proposal as well as implementing language. We will carry that to a vote, and we will also bring back up the sales tax exemption review. We're working on our January 25th agenda to include all of our other topics, including services tax, as well as we're working with Commissioner Hogan, I believe, on a constitutional proposal and or statutory recommendation that would be related to, have to be constitutional, and then implementing language for spending caps to debate. That's the end of my report, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions? Busy. You're going to be busy. Any questions? Okay, thank you, Chairman Story. Chairman Levine of the Governmental Procedures and Structure Committee, you're recognized.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Members, we had a good meeting today. We had some good lively debate about a couple of issues that were brought up. First was a constitutional proposal 25 by Commissioner D'Alembert. This bill would permit the legislature to implement measures that they deem necessary to raise revenue during fiscal crises, notwithstanding any other provision of the Constitution. Obviously, it's a bit controversial. It was amended in committee. It was not passed. It was temporarily postponed. I think they felt that it needed a little bit more work. The amendment that was put onto the bill, while the language of the bill would allow the governor to declare a crisis, then the legislature, by a 3/4 vote, could essentially waive elements of the Constitution and raise revenue beyond constitutional revenue limits. The amendment that was put onto the bill at the committee would also allow the legislature to cut expenditures. In other words, constitutionally required spending could also be waived, so that there could be budget cuts in addition to revenue raised. There was a lot of debate on this bill. I suspect it'll be debated when it comes back for a vote. I suspect it'll come back in a couple of weeks after the sponsor, Commissioner D'Alembert, and I believe staff will meet to address some of the issues that were raised at the committee today. The second bill we considered was Constitutional Proposal 27 by Commissioner Hogan. Very, very well drafted bill that changes the timing and increases the frequency of the establishment of future tax and budget reform commissions. By way of history, the Constitutional Revision Commission existed, I think, going back to the original 68 Constitution. Somewhere along the way, the Tax and Budget Reform Commission was created. There was some issue between the TBRC and the CRC. The CRC expanded their purview a little bit to get into tax and budget issues back, I think, in 1996. And there was some, I think the discussion is to address some things that conflict constitutionally between the two commissions. Where we really had the most debate was how often the TBRC should meet, either every 10 years or every 20 years. Originally, the legislature, when it created the TBRC, did so. Initially they met every 10 years. That was changed to every 20 years. The discussion we had this morning was whether we should go back to every 10 years alternative or do every 20 years alternating to the CRC meetings. So there's always a commission meeting every 10 years, one relative to tax and budget issues, one relative to other constitutional issues. This was also temporarily postponed while staff goes back and brings several different variations of the bill so that we could actually vote on which one we think might be the best alternative. We discussed, there's three or four, or five rather, future potential committee bills that we're still in the process of going through the drafting process and before we vote on whether or not to make them PCBs, and we'll have more on that later. So with that, Mr. Chairman, it was a good meeting, and we'll have some spirited debate next week, I'm sure, with our agenda next week.
Any questions of Chairman Levine? Good job, Chairman. Governmental Services Committee, Chairman Roberto Martinez, you're recognized.
Mr. Chairman, good afternoon, and members. Our committee met this afternoon, and we took action on three different matters. We passed a statutory recommendation proposed by Commissioner Daryl Ruzon, which mandated the expansion of faith and character-based programs within the correctional institution, the correctional facilities operated by the Department of Correction. The measure requires the department to evaluate faith and character-based prison programs for cost savings, crime reduction, and enhanced professionalism of employees, and it encourages the legislature to use the savings resulting from those programs for ex-offender transition assistance. So that was passed out by the by our committee, and now it goes back to further review by, I think it's the, which one is it? The budgeting committee. We also took up two other actions. These were in the form of committee proposals. The first one was a proposal by Commissioner Randy Miller, which authorized a millage increase at the Northwest Florida Water Management District. And lastly, the last official action that we took is we had at the prior meeting in November directed the staff to come back to us with wording with regards to a modification of the class size amendment to make the requirement measured at the school-wide average as opposed to the classroom level. So we considered today a proposal that had that wording, and it was passed out of our committee, everybody supporting it except for one vote. So now it goes to, legislative drafting. It'll get a number, and Mr. Chairman, you'll assign it wherever you deem appropriate. We also had some presentations apart from the consideration of those actions, and we had a very good presentation from the Secretary of the Department of Correction, Jim McDonough, who has been an excellent government official and has done a wonderful job in that position. And Secretary McDonough made a presentation, summarized a presentation that he had made back to us in Orlando with regards to recommendations that he has suggested in order to reduce the rate of recidivism within the prison population. And as a result of his presentation, we had previously supported the staff drafting some legislative language to come back to us, incorporating his recommendations. And hopefully we'll have that legislative language at our next meeting. And we're also going to be inviting for that next meeting in order to consider with regards to that that proposal, some presenters that have a viewpoint different than Secretary McDonough, just to make sure that we have a balanced presentation. We did not have Commissioner Jade Moore present at the meeting. He was unable to attend, but I know that he has a number of proposals that he would like for us to consider in the field of education. One of them is an idea called a school tax consolidation amendment to the Constitution. And he also has several proposals dealing with something called an Education Adequacy Commission, either in the form of a constitutional amendment or legislative language. Those were not discussed today because Jade wasn't present, but I anticipate that they will be brought up at our next meeting. And Mr. Chairman, the next meeting of our committee, instead of having it next week, where there really wouldn't be that much business that we would be ready to act upon, we've decided to put off our next meeting until the meeting on January 25th, at which point in time we'll have all these matters back for consideration. And hopefully we will also hear from the ad hoc committee on higher education that is looking at issues such as Bright Futures, the prepaid programs, and the gambling funding. And hopefully they'll have some recommendations for us to consider.
Great. Any questions of Chairman Martinez? The debate in that committee, especially on the class size issue, I think was very informative for a lot of members. I had two or three folks mention that they didn't realize the extent of the funding of the class size amendment and where all the dollars went. So I thought that was a very good debate. Planning and Budgetary Processes Committee, Chairman LaCasa, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, we had invited Chief Financial Officer Alex Sink and her staff to come to our committee today and talk about the government investment pool and generally the division of the state treasury. Unfortunately, they had to postpone, and we're hoping to get them back in about 2 weeks. When we do have them back, I urge all of you to come and hear testimony on this particularly compelling issue. We were able to consider today CP 22 by Commissioner Rousson concerning an amendment to the Constitution regarding affordable housing. The debate was excellent and spirited. Several issues were raised concerning the language of the proposal as it moves forward in the process. Having said that, the committee adopted CP 22 unanimously, and now it moves on to the next step. We, with respect to future meetings, members, we will not be meeting next week either. Right now, we're looking forward to hearing from the CFO's office and for further referrals of proposals.
Any questions of Chairman LaCasa? Okay, thank you very much, Chairman and members, for attending these meetings the last couple of days. Next, let's move on to the consideration of the recommendation of the Ad Hoc Committee on Ballot Summary Issues. Commissioner, Vice Chairman Scott, you're recognized to present SR 0011.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the committee that was appointed, Chairman Bentz and Senators Miller and McKay, former senators, and me. We're all aware of this set, and we've discussed the 75-word limit that does currently apply to this commission as well as the Constitutional Revision Commission. What this proposal does is add those two entities in the same status as the legislative actions for purposes of not having a 75-word limit. You know, the history of this is it's in the staff report, but came about 25 years ago or more when the issue was having room on the machines, the voting machines, if those of you that remember that, and not having room for all the proposal or on the machines. And so that was the history of it. And I think it's become, and we think it's more important to have full disclosure, real openness and accuracy in what people are voting on. And some of the proposals perhaps that we're considering won't be able to be accurately and openly described with 75 words. So that's the proposal. We're going to submit this to the legislature. Frankly, we've made some inquiries, and we're getting a lukewarm reception in the Senate and maybe a little better in the House so far, but maybe we haven't had a chance to really explain it to the members. So we'd ask the commission to approve this today, hopefully unanimously, and send that over, and let's see if we can get them to act on that early on in time for our placing any items on the ballot.
Okay, there is a Commissioner, Vice Chairman Scott has explained SR 0011 by Benz, McKay, Miller, and Scott. Are there questions of the presenter? Commissioner Barnett, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you. What entity is left that's still subject to the 75-word limitation? Is it only constitutional conventions?
Chairman Scott, you're recognized.
I'm not sure if the petition items are still subject to, I think they might be. Otherwise,
petition and constitutional conventions.
Right.
Further questions? Are there further questions? We have a gentleman that would like to speak on the issue. Mr. Pitts, Brian Pitts, You're recognized to speak on this proposal. Then we'll go into debate. Welcome, Mr. Pitts.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy you could bring the issue up, because J2J also is a PAC. We do initiatives. We attempted to do an Article 5, and we could not fit all our words in there to do a full revamp. Now, we're going to wait, because we're not going to do it yet. We'll do it just like the marriage amendment that got passed. But this is our petition. When we tried to do a full revamp of Article 5, we couldn't fit into 75 words in there. We are our initial, what you call a political, organized political committee, who, of course, you have to go through that process to be able to do initiative petitions. You need to strike the 75 across the board, and it should apply to everyone. Equal protection issues brought up in the summary that you have, that's exactly right. You go ahead and pass this, I definitely, personally would challenge that, because now you got three or four have that preference, but now you got two, the convention and entity like I myself, or Florida for Marriage and other entities that do it, but not, now we stuck with the 75. I'll tell you right now, once the 612 is gotten for this petition, they're probably going to question it, because the 75 words does not mention everything that we needed to do in the article. So this is going to have to be redone. So we're going to request, yes, you change the language, just strike the 75 clause and have it apply to everyone. The next issue is the unlearned, especially for the petition done by initiative form. You know, y'all can do a very educated form. Those unlearned, which most consider like I myself or others, it better that we do have more wording from a common person standpoint to do the initiative. So even more so, it should apply to those who do initiatives than to yourselves. And I do believe that is all that I have for you today. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Pitts. Any question of the presenter? Okay, let's move to debate. Is there any debate on the resolution? Any debate? Any debate? Chairman Scott, you're recognized to close.
I would move the proposal, and let's send it over there and see what action we can get on it.
Vice Chairman Scott, having closed on his proposal, the issue comes up. Will the Secretary please call the roll?
Commissioner Barney Barnett?
Yes.
Commissioner Martha Barnett? Yes. Commissioner D'Alembert? Yes. Commissioner Hogan?
Yes.
Commissioner Johnson?
Yes.
Commissioner LaCasa?
Yes.
Commissioner Levesque?
Yes.
Commissioner Levine?
Yes.
Commissioner Martinez?
Yes.
Commissioner Mathis?
Yes.
Commissioner McKee?
Yes.
Commissioner Les Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Randy Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Riley?
Yes.
Commissioner Roussan?
Yes.
Commissioner Story?
Yes.
Commissioner Turbeville?
Yes.
Commissioner Yablonsky?
Yes.
Vice Chair Scott?
Yes.
Chair Bentz?
Yes. And by your vote, the resolution passes. Okay, I'm going to suggest that our executive director, Ms. Skelton, tell us about the upcoming meeting dates and locations. You're recognized, Ms. Skelton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, with apologies to those of you who are in these separate groups on the 17th, if both meetings in one group had canceled, we could have shifted times around, but unfortunately that's not the case. So the morning meeting set for the 17th of January here in Tallahassee in your regular meeting rooms will be for the Governmental Procedures and Structure Committee, the afternoon slot, the Finance and Tax Committee. On the 18th, the TBRC will meet from 9 to 12 a.m. in this room, and there will be votes taken. So again, we'll need a quorum for that meeting in order for votes to be taken. The 25th of January will be all-day committee meetings. It'll be a morning set and an afternoon set again. And on the 30th, the TBRC will meet for votes and also to hear a presentation by Secretary of State Kurt Browning on the ballot summary process and the actual workings of how the ballot summaries or the ballots will go forward, or the initiatives will go forward from the commission to the Secretary of State's office, how they're placed on the ballot, and what that process entails. And, Mr. Chair, we are looking at a full set of meetings on the 12th of February, a voting day for the TBRC on the 13th of February,
And the Finance and Tax Committee is scheduling a meeting from 9 to 6 on the 11th of February. So from now through the middle of February, we have a very busy meeting schedule.
Questions, members?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Miller, you're recognized.
So next Friday, a week from today, is strictly just the TBRC meeting from 9
That's
to
correct.
12. And we'll be voting?
On yes, we will.
Issues on that particular day.
Yes, we will. Let me tell you, I commend Ms. Skelton on juggling all 25 of our schedules, actually 29 schedules, and it's very difficult. And again, I'm anxious to make sure we have sufficient debate on these proposals as they move forward. And I think that February will be a big month, especially February the 11th. We talked about putting off a lot of the property tax proposals until after the January 29th initiative, because that might frame the overall picture of where we are in that issue. Any questions? Commissioner Scott? You were look like you're ready to fire away at me there. Okay, any discussion? Nope, we're not quite ready yet. Under announcements, Chairman Levine will be amending the Governmental Procedures and Structure Committee for January 17th to include the following proposals. CP0015 by Commissioner Yablonsky and the F&T Committee. CP0016 by Commissioner Yablonsky and the F&T Committee. And the draft PCB by Commissioner Turbeville. I'm not sure what the issue is, Commissioner Turbeville, but we will be amending the agenda for that committee on January 17th. That's just a notice for everyone to we want to get that notice out. Any questions? Any discussion time, folks? Any debate on where we're heading, what we're doing, and so on? Good. I want to thank all of you all for attending the meetings on a regular basis. And Commissioner Levesque, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Did we decide on a date when our amendments, the deadline, when we could get amendments in?
No, we didn't. I sort of got shot down on that one. I suggested January 15th, but I think we're going to keep it just sort of fluid. And, you know, I sure don't want to be accused of shutting off good proposals, because technically I could argue this commission runs until June 30 of 2010. So, again, it would be prudent, though. I think those of you that are familiar with the process know that I'm sure the House of Senate bill drafting, the world there is going to get busy here in the next few weeks. So the sooner the better if you can get proposals to them. Commissioner Scott.
First of all, let me add my appreciation to Susan and the staff for jockeying everybody's schedules. I tried to convince her she should only suit my schedule, but I
that's what she told me.
But she explained I wasn't in the Senate anymore, right? And I understand. So anyway, but the point is that I do think, however, Susan, I was going to suggest this to you, Mr. Chair. Maybe we ask the Senate or the legislature for a little help. Maybe Faye could get someone to give us help us see how we can get the list of where the stuff is, sort of like a calendar, you know, like a daily, almost a daily calendar or a weekly, certainly. Well, I think they can. I think if they just do a little bit of assistance from the technical, and maybe they would help us list where things are. And then when it comes to us getting these notices out, which is what's been happening, is that the night before or right before, you know, and that's the best anybody's able to do, because we you know, before the meeting or a day or two before, we're getting some of the materials. And I don't know if there's any way. I'd like to at least ask them if there's a way that we could, I don't know how, communicate them, because, you know, we're traveling, we're on our Blackberries. There's no way you can even open some of the things that I, for one, and I know some others were having this. I just wanted to make the inquiry that we try to see if there's some way, since we're getting into this hot and heavy session for the next couple months, that we're able to expedite notices and copies and whatever for the members.
We can do that.
Okay.
We'll do the best.
Yeah.
Best we can. The Senate has been very accommodative so far of letting us use their facilities, and we once again thank them for that. Any more questions? Any discussion? Commissioner Story, you recognize.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go back to your comment about people getting proposals in. For the Tax and Finance Committee, we had a lot of discussion, and for example, talking about all the property tax proposals. It is extremely helpful for us to have all the proposals that we can in as we're discussing. And in fact, the interrelationship between exemption sales, the exemptions on sales tax reviews, all of the things we're talking about, there was a concern about making sure that we do it as consistently as possible. So when we discuss this, if then 3 weeks later there is a proposal related, I just think from a consistency standpoint, to back up what the chairman said, as soon as we get these proposals in, we can handle them from an aggregate standpoint and probably come out with a much better product in terms of what our committee does.
Agreed. Any more discussion? Seeing none, Commissioner Turbeville moves to rise.